والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. But the poem meant and what I'm going to read now is very similar. He says that I came to you, O my Rabb, crying, Baqiya. So if tonight or today you forgive me, then that is the real Eid. If tonight or today you forgive me, then that is the real Eid. So regarding this year, I will read a few things and then we will explain a few points going forward. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make it beneficial for us all. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, this is the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, a believer has five Eids. A believer has five Eids. For me and you, tomorrow, meaning day after the 29th or the 30th is our Eid. He never mentioned any of those two Eids. He said, a believer has five Eids. Every day which passes by a believer, in which no sin is written in his book, is the day of Eid. Allah make every day of ours. It's not impossible not to sin. It's not impossible. For if Almighty Allah had known we can't sin, He would never have told us stay away from sin. It's not impossible. What's supposed to happen is keeping away, keeping away, keeping away, then we slip. Then we stand, then we move again. Keep away, keep away, keep away, then we slip. It can never happen we live in sin. A believer can't live in sin. Can't live in sin. In the poem he says, indeed I have seen in the ayat of Quran, لا تخنتو. Never lose hope. Never lose hope means carry on standing. You cannot live in sin. Ramadan never come to halt us or to pause us. It came to stop us. It's a different thing than when you press pause. When you press pause, it means you're ready to press play again. And there's something else when you press stop. And there's something called delete. Ramadan came to make us stop and to delete. I cannot be who I was before Ramadan. But there are some people who pause in Ramadan. Pause. That I'm waiting for Eid to play again. I'm waiting for Eid to play again. That means 100 Eids will come. 100 Eids. He said the first Eid is the day that a day passes and in his book of deeds a sin is not written. The day when a believer leaves this world with Iman is a day of Eid. Allah give us that Eid. The day when he will cross the bridge of Sirat and be saved from the horrors of Qiyamah is a day of Eid. Allah give us that Eid. The day when he will enter into Jannah is a day of Eid. Allah give us that Eid. The day when he will gaze at his Rabb is a day of Eid. Allah give us that. Five Eids. But to get these five Eids, it is not the work that we do in Ramadan, but rather it is life after Ramadan. It is life after Ramadan. So this is what now we are reading. Allah tabarak ta'ala in Quran says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَتَدْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَثَ. This became a muhawara, it became a method for the Arabs. They knew of a certain woman in Makkah Mukarramah, her name was Raifa. She used to tell her daughters, she had lost it. When you get old, you lose your mind. And she was not around at that time, but her story became like a method. A method means, you tell everyone, don't be like Raifa. What she would do, she lost her mind. So during the day, she would take yarn and she would spin it. Meaning she would get engaged in work. Carrying on, carrying on, carried on. But when noon would arrive, when normally you're supposed to now have something ready and you can sell it in the market, she would just go mad and start laughing and just tear, tear, tear. And she would tell her daughter, tear, break it, break it. And the next day again she would pick up and start the whole process again. This was a day to make and to break. To make and to break. She was not right in her mind. But the Arabs then used this year as a mathal. Meaning when you want to tell someone, don't be. They say, don't be like Raita. Don't be like Raita. You work so hard in the day, you spoil it in the night. Allah Tabarakala now used that in Quran. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي. That you also don't be like her. That you worked so hard during the day. You stayed awake during the night. You did everything for 29 or 30 days. And on 31st day you spoiled it all. You just took it and you tore it. Why? Because we pressed play. We have kept pause. We never want to press stop. There are some people who are scared to delete their old life. They are scared. So they press pause. They press pause. I have come to press delete. Stop. Delete. So the beginning of the poem, سَأُقْبِلُ يَا رَبِّ مِنْ جَدِيدٍ. I will now start coming towards you, Allah, trying again. مِنْ جَدِيدٍ. I will try again. Maybe I walked on this path once upon a time and then I forgot to carry on walking. But after Ramadan, my life is after Ramadan. For many people, Ramadan is Ramadan. For the pious, Ramadan is what happens after Ramadan. What happens after Ramadan? It starts with the day of Eid. It starts. Little bit you slip here and there. Immediately you got some fast in Shawwal. Put yourself right again. You get fasting twice, Monday and Thursday. Three times a month. Put yourself right. Every time you're told to fast, fast is to tell you, just balance yourself again. You've got a journey to carry on walking to Almighty Allah. Allah Tawarukala make it possible for all of us. Bishr al-Hafi was a very great saint. He was known in his era for his abundance worship. Someone said to him that there are many people who worship Allah in Ramadan. They do so much, but they give up all their worship after Ramadan. He said, evil are those people who recognize Almighty Allah only during the month of Ramadan. So now what I am going to ask, me and you are in the same boat. We are not like the pious of the past. We are the people of the present. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did mention that the end of my ummah, the end of my ummah will be so unique that they will have resemblance to the beginning of my ummah. He said it's like the rain. You will not be able to pick up which part of the rain is more unique. In the beginning part of the ummah, people stood out. In the end of the ummah, people are again going to stand out. For me and you to stand out, it needs two things. Me to stand and Allah to gaze. So the gaze of Allah is not in our control. But standing for the occasion is in our control. We can stand, we can make a move, we can move forward. We cannot be a coward who only presses pause. When I was small, we used to watch television, sports, movies. Then Allah Tawarakala pulled us out of that addiction. Still what I had seen in that time troubles my mind. Still. Years later, 25 years later. Which means it remained recorded. Nothing we see goes away from the mind. Nothing. What games we played is still there. What dirt we saw in games is still there. Nothing is ever. You say your slate, make it clean. Make it clean. Whatever we see gets recorded. But how dirt gets recorded, purity also gets recorded. So what Quran I looked at, that's also recorded. And the more I look at it, the more it gets recorded. And how you delete one file, on computers it's very easy, you press delete. But by today I think everyone knows when we press delete, it only gets deleted on our computer. On the main system it remains safe. So if one day they want to take it out, you get shocked, I thought I deleted that. So you delete it on your computer, not on everyone's computer. In this mind, however, we haven't got that button to press delete. The mind makes us remember. Husband and wife fight. One of the two starts taking out all stories. The first week when you got married, the person says, you're remembering something that happened 35 years ago. 35 years ago. Nothing gets forgotten, it remains stuck. But whenever you record something more, it helps to overtake that which was recorded. So if I got filth in my mind, I need to put more Quran on top of it. Cover, cover, cover until it's gone. So to say gone. Again it will come up. Again Quran will hit it. Again it will come up. Again Quran will hit it. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, we bring the haq. And with the haq, we smash it on batil. We smash it on batil. I bring Quran and I bring it on top of my filth. But what happens if I'm only recording dirt? Only recording dirt. Only recording dirt. And once a year only I ask the imams that I need you to do a good qiyam for me. I got lot recordings and I got your Quran to wipe it all out. All out. It might work, it might not work. It might work, it might not work. There is a need for me and you now to also start using Quran to wipe out our old recordings. As we move forward now in what is called a new period, many people, they're only worried about when the war is going to end. You ask them why? Everyone got their own matlab. We live in a word, matlab. I don't know if you all know Urdu, Arabic, but matlabi means a man who got his own need. Matlabi. So there was a man called Qais. In the books of history, they call him Majnoon. He was in love with Layla. So a war between two jamaats of Sahaba took place. It was a very big war. Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. It was a very big war and there was a lot of hypocrites in between. But when this war took place and then it broke up and now the people are returning and everyone is discussing the war, the war. Someone sees Qais. He's like looking worried, confused. So the man says, are you looking for news? He say, yes, what news? Say, do you want to know who won the war, lost the war? He say, what that got to do with me? Say, I want to know how's Layla. How's Layla? The man said, but the war, don't you want to know who won the war? He said, if group A's winning the war will help the cause of Layla, then I wish A won. Otherwise B. For him, it was only his Layla. Someone will ask him, this war, what about this war? He says, before the price of petrol, diesel goes higher, Allah stop this war. Allah stop. See, you worried about it. Another one said, I got my booking in Makkah. I can't lose that booking. For you, the war is there. Everyone got his own matlab. He looks in the news. The war must stop. The war must stop. So this is a hard point now. This will be very like what is called. If you catch what I'm trying to say, you catch it. If you don't catch it, leave it. Let it just fall. Many people worry about the war ending. They never ever think why did the war start and what happens after the war. Why did the war start and what happens after the war? Why did the war start? We will never know before the war and during the war. After the war, however, many things will happen. When those things will happen, it will give us an idea why the war came. Why the war came. But what happens is when we're only concerned about the war and not after the war. When life after the war comes, man slips harder than he slipped during the war. Man slips. They say in peace, more people become pieces than during battle. When the Iraq Gulf War took place, American soldiers from on top blasted the fields with what was called poisonous chemicals. Then ground soldiers ran into the field to celebrate victory. They were given masks to wear with oxygen. They thought the war is finished, so they took out their mask and they threw it in the sky. We won. Not understanding, you won, but you're not supposed to take out your mask. All of them returned to America. They never died in their war. They died because of mental issues. They snuffed that which they had given to others. Those others were made to snuff it without happiness. They happily snuffed it. What mistake they made. When the war was finished, they ran too quickly. When the war gets finished, never ever rush forward. Understand, no war at the moment in the world plays out. Except that after the war, there is something else that's going to play. Whatever is going to happen, whether it's going to be peace, and the hand of the devil will play during peace. When COVID took place, the world was waiting for COVID to finish. On that occasion, one of the lectures I gave was, everyone is waiting for the end of COVID. I don't think anyone is thinking, what's going to happen after COVID? But many things happened after COVID. Many things happened. After this war, many things are going to happen. And moving forward, when Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of the days of Dajjal, those days have to happen one day. Maybe we are already in one of those periods. Maybe we are moving into a new period. Maybe we might even see the day when the Dajjal takes the main chair. Main chair. How we are expecting it to happen, maybe on that day it might not happen. Because the Dajjal is not going to be like Trump, Netanyahu. That's not the Dajjal. That is not the Dajjal. Example. Everyone knows there's a Jewish lobby. But Jewish lobbies die. But one famous name in the Jewish lobby is what people say, Rothschild, Rockefeller. Say they're behind the wars. They're behind the wars. Have you ever seen any of those people? Evil. Have you ever seen them in the news saying war, war? Just because we don't see them, doesn't mean they're not evil. Sometimes the war takes place. One Trump will disappear. One Netanyahu will disappear. And one evil man will become rich with both of them. Sometimes the one who is the most evil is not noticed. But he enjoys the war of everyone. Sometimes. The Dajjal is not noticed. And when he will fit, he will also remain unnoticed. Unnoticed. If in our mind it is a picture of a man who's evil, then that's not the Dajjal. The Dajjal means one who you will see him, and you will not be able to say this is the Dajjal. How we understand that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about Shabun, a youngster who will leave Medina Munawwara and go towards. Soldiers will capture him. One will want to kill him. Another will say, our Lord. This will be at the end of the periods of the Dajjal. End. Not at the beginning. At the end. After he will have shown so much. So our Lord said, do not kill, take. They will bring this youngster in front of the Dajjal. The Dajjal will cut him in half. What it will be on that time, but things are going very fast. What the mind cannot understand today, we are seeing it already happening tomorrow. AI, if someone had told us about it a while ago, it would have been a dream. It could have been a nightmare. Today it's a reality. AI. More intelligent than man. More faster than man. You will never say more wonderful than man. You will say, and more evil than man. More evil. What we never could think about, we're seeing it tomorrow. Things are going very fast. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the hour will come, you will find those days where a month is like a week. And a week is like a day. And a day is just like the burning of a piece of log. Very fast things are going to happen. Very fast. And because it happens fast, normally the whole world starts sliding. When something happens fast, it's very hard to keep. And say, no, I'll go up the mountain. Everyone is just sliding. New things are just coming up. He's going. Yesterday that marriage broke. The next day, he and she got married. We don't know after that what's going to happen. Then it's he and she who was a he got married. And everything is happening. And in everything we just have to keep quiet. Like it's normal. This is also part of it. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ When the devil said, and I will order man, and then man will go himself and change how Allah made him. But we never hear the order of the devil. But the system did it. Which means behind the system there is a devil. There is a devil. That operates on the call of Dajjal, on the call of Iblis, on the call of the world of jinn. There is a system. But the devil said it will be me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it will be Dajjal. There is a hidden hand behind many things. So even the day when he will stand, when that youngster will go to him and he will cut him in half, then he will bring him back. Then the youngster will look at him and say, now I am convinced you are the Dajjal. And he will say, now I am convinced means, because he said, my Nabi spoke of a thing like this. My Nabi spoke of something else. Which means, before that act, even that youngster will be, I think he's the Dajjal, but maybe not. I think he's the Dajjal, but maybe not. He says, now I'm convinced, it's you. For that youngster whose iman will be so solid, to right till the ending still be in a doubt, the normal man might miss the jar. You might miss. Who you will think to be your enemy, you will run from. But the one who you will run to will be the real enemy. For the Dajjal and Shaitan, where they hate the bodies of believers, they hate the heart more. So to keep the man alive and to pull away his iman, for them is more better than killing the man and giving him shahada by Allah. We are moving in that era. We are moving. In war, many people get martyred and they go straight to Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Dajjal will come with fire. But the one who will enter his fire, he will go straight into paradise. Straight into paradise. Dajjal will come with fire. In the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they never fought with fire. Hardly they would use the catapult, put a rock, put some fire and shoot. The war was swords, the war was arrows. Hardly it was fire. When the American Empire was created to take over the world, the first thing that came out was a $1 bill. On the one side of the bill was a pyramid with an eye to say, may the Lord be happy with what he's seen. That was his story. Meaning this is a pyramid. The people on the lower level don't know who's above them. The people above know who's under them. And the one above that knows who's under them. They don't know who's above them. And this pyramid works. But right at the top of the pyramid, there's an eye. That no one under them understands who they're working for. No one understands. But on the other side of the dollar, there was a bird. And in the claws of the bird, on one side was arrows. And one side was like branches. You say, I offer you a branch of peace. They put arrows and they put branches. But when the war started, that bird, what they say resembled is that America will bring such a system in the world that whoever will accept it will be offered peace, branches. And whoever will reject it will have to see its arrows. They put arrows. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned fire. When the war started, it never started with arrows. It started with fire. When you see that fire falling in countries and how it falls, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he will come with fire. But the one who will enter his fire will go straight into Jannah. Many in Gaza enter that fire. Many. They enter it smiling and they're smiling till today. Then he said, and the Dajjal will come with gardens. I fear that the next era is going to be an era of peace. And peace is something everyone wants. Especially after war. Especially after war. We're tired of war. So bring us peace no matter what the price. He said, when you will come with gardens, the one who will enter the garden will go straight into the fire. Meaning he might lose his iman. So we don't know how it's going to be going forward. We don't know. And if you think when Dajjal comes, I'll pick him up. Very few will pick him up. It's a system that more will slip than survive. So what I want from me and you, and I'll end on this point. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about Dajjal, and Sahaba radiallahu anhu would get worried, want to know how to plan for the future. Must we store food? Must we run away? What must we do? When they would get worried, then finally he would say to them, hold on to Quran. Hold on to Quran. That's the answer. Hold on to Quran. How do we hold on to Quran? Now when the Imam finished the last rakat, I wasn't here in the last rakat, so I'm not so sure how you all do it, because you all still have Qiyam. But I'm sure you all read Alif Lam Mim. No. Qul A'udhu Rabbi An-Nas. So in some places, you will see in the last rakat, they will read Surah Fatiha. Alif Lam Mim Zalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fi. Like they start your next khatam. Some places. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what a wonderful rider that man is. That when his journey ends, he starts it again. In the light of that, they did it. But what it meant is, you can never end your khatam of Quran. As soon as it ends, start again. But the next journey must be more unique than the previous journey. Next journey must be more unique than the previous journey. See, when you get married, the first week when you go to your in-laws' house, if the next week is more boring, then you're never going to go back. The next week must have something more entertaining. More entertaining. The next week must be even better. Now the children will say, when are we going? When are we going? But if the in-laws are not showing a nice attitude, then slowly, slowly we're not going, not going, not going. Our Quran is not like anyone's in-laws. Our Quran is not. The more you will visit Quran, the more you will enjoy the visit. Problem is, we get lazy for that visit. So now our next journey has started. Next journey. How it will start? I can also read half a page. No one said I can't read. I can read it. And if my reading is not good, get now a technology. Get a reader. Let the imam read. Have it in my ear. Listen to it and read it. And now the applications comes with the meaning under it. And then invest in a tafsir. And if you're too poor to buy a tafsir, then nowadays you get free downloads. So download a tafsir. And now have it. So at night when you were reading the novel, and your wife asked you what you're reading, and quickly you put it off, because it was getting juicy. That's why you put it off quickly. Quickly you put it off. Huh? Nothing. Seeing nothing. Now she asks you what you're looking at. And you won't press off. You won't press. Because you're looking at a message from my Allah. A message from my Allah. If in the morning and in the evening, I look at my Quran, even a little, then the attraction, the destruction, the invite of the entire day, my morning Quran and my night Quran will delete it all, or it will overpower it. The world will tell me one thing, but my morning Quran when I heard the Imam in Fajr, and my evening Quran when I read my Quran and I read a little, it will wipe it. Hold on to Quran. Because when the times become hard, many people get pushed away with the current. But the man who's connected with Quran, I gave this example the other day, We went to Mauritius recently. So Mauritius is the best place to swim. Best place. Yes, from Mauritius. You can swim, but you can swim. Nah, I went to Mauritius. I met so many who can't swim. I said, go move to South Africa. What are you doing here? You got the ocean in front. You want to keep a swimming pool. Mauritius got a beach. My one friend, he took me to the beach. I told him, you're not coming. What? He said, I can't swim. I said, amazing. You live here. I came here to swim. So in Mauritius now, you go into the ocean. And you go deep. The deeper you go, the more smarter it becomes. You call it snorkeling. And you go down, you go down, you go down. And you see amazing creatures. Beautiful it is. But sometimes, if you're not a good swimmer, and you took out the life jacket, then while you're there, you normally put flippers. So flippers make you like a fish. But if you don't put flippers, and you think I can manage, then there is something called undercurrents. You don't see it. It's looking calm. You mean, that's why it stopped. Yeah. That's why it stopped. Undercurrent. It hits you from under. Now you're seeing the boat there. And you're trying to get closer to the boat. The more you try, the further you're going. Further you're going. Along the way, the person gets tired and he gives up and he drowns. They say the undercurrent is most dangerous. Why? Because danger hits you from the place where you never expected it. The fitna of the jahl will be like an undercurrent. Now if a man gets caught in an undercurrent, the normal law is you just wait. You float, it will take you somewhere, wherever it leaves you, then you look around and you start swimming somewhere after that. But it can take you for miles away also. You must be brave. But the jahl's fitna, when it hits, it's not going to take you and leave you. It will take a man into kufr. Into kufr. So when that man is caught with an undercurrent, he has to scream. He has to scream for help while floating, keeping himself up. He has to scream. Now the lifeguard may pick him up. So immediately the boats are sent. Then they throw a rope. When they throw the rope, they tell the person, grab and hold tight. Grab it and hold tight. Soon as you hold it, now you don't even have to move your hand. Now when the boat starts moving, you actually act like you are a beautiful fish. You're just hitting your legs and you're just moving with the water. Now you really think I'm a good swimmer. I'm a master swimmer. You're not swimming with. Why? Because you're connected to something solid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Quran is the rope of Allah. That rope fell for me and you. He has protection from Dajjal. He said, Quran. I need to hold on to this like that man in the water. And if I leave it, the undercurrent is taking me. Hold on to it. Hold on. Tonight we already say, download my Quran. Buy a Quran. In my room I have one desk for my Quran, one for its affair. Every time I enter in a house, I'll see a newspaper, I'll see a magazine, I'll see a novel, I'll see a book. I'll ask, where's the Quran? They'll say, in the shelf. I say, why in the shelf? That which you read every night doesn't go in the shelf. That has its place. This is my Quran room. This is my library. Allah tabarak ta'ala grant us all. Dhalika al-kitab. Allah tabarak ta'ala said, you ask for guidance. This is the book. After tonight, let our relation with Quran only increase. Let it not decrease. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem. وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله.